August 16, 1989, Kay Daigle interviewing Decatur Mitchell in his office in Long Beach, California.
How did you actually come?
To Long Beach? Well, my father had been in the oil business from probably about 1905 or 1906 he came out to California, and first went to Taft, and California, Kern County, and he was there in about 1911, and then he went to Old Mexico for E.L. Dehaney, who, you know, gave USC their library and whatnot. And he was down there until 1916, and because of the political unrest and one thing or another, they had to get out of there. And he came back to the U.S. in 1916, and did some drilling and one thing or another that didn't turn out too well in Texas, around Wichita Falls, Burnett. And then in 1916, he married my mother, and they came back out to Taft. And I was born in 1918 in Taft. And then in about 1920, he got involved in a big strike that they had up in Kern County, and the secretary and treasurer of the union absconded with the monies, left the country, I understand, and that handled the strike right in a hurry. So, but the result with him as an individual was he could not work for any major oil companies because of his involvement. And but while he'd been in Mexico, he'd saved some money and had a couple of houses in Taft. And he also bought a small little grape ranch up around Livingston, California, out of Merced there. And we stayed up there, moved up there, and stayed up there in 1923. Well, in the meantime, Signal Hill, we discovered in 1921, so he came on down here, since he was familiar with this line of business, and it more or less started from there.
Do you know any more details about his involvement with the strike?
Well, I can remember as a kid, see, I was only 2 or 3 years old, but you remember little odd things. I remember they had the ridge route closed down because of the strike at that time. And then they sent in some, what they call scabs. See, my father was a little more liberal than I am. I don't go for that stuff. But nevertheless, they sent in, tried to take some workers in from San Francisco. But they had to go to Bakersfield and into a short line on the railroad between there and Taft, but they stopped them and turned them around there. There was a little violence, I don't think too much, but I can remember as a kid going over the ridge route, and they had it closed down, and they had strikers out there, and they were kind of living out there. They had the road shut down. It wasn't much of a road in those days, of course, but that's about all I remember of the strike.
How did your dad get
learned
in the oil business,
if
you're involved in the oil business?
When he was raised in the south central part of Missouri, and left home when he was about 18 years old, and he went to Indian Territory, which is now Oklahoma, and he worked on some ranches there, and then he went into Texas and worked for the old XIT ranch, which was a British-owned ranch. And the biggest ranch in Texas at the time would make, the King Ranch look like your backyard. In fact, XIT meant 10 in Texas, which they own 10 counties, the majority of 10 counties is in northwestern Texas, went up into the panhandle and whatnot. But he left working for the XIT and went into to New Mexico, which was still a territory, up down Tootencary, and a little town called, oh gosh, I can't say, it's a, oh, 8 or 10 miles on a plateau south of Tootencary, between there and Clovis. He and a fellow that became an uncle of mine later proved up on some land there, they still have the 160 acres there. It's 160 acres of nothing, you know, it's just, you know, grazing land. But then that wasn't much of a financial success, so he left there and went to Taft. And it was in Taft in about, oh, I'd say 1906 or 7, somewhere in there, that he really started getting familiar with the oil business. Family came to Long Beach, and the first place I can remember living, I went to a wedding there last Saturday in the area. It was on East 6th Street. At a Presbyterian church there, but right pretty close to where I lived as a child, a safe place in Long Beach. But in those days, down where the lagoon is, and down in there, where Wilson High is now, that, of course, there's no Wilson then, but that was the city dump on further down there in that low part where the lagoon is and whatnot. But, he owned all things. He bought a service station that would be at the northwest corner of Cherry and Willow. And right next door to him was a trucking outfit run by a fellow named Frank West, West Trucking. And he fiddled around there, just something to do till he found what he wanted, and finally he and three other fellows started what they called the Four Grillers, which was a grilling company.
And do you remember
the other three? Well, I remember a couple of them. One of the four was Newt Miller, a fellow named Newt Miller, and a fellow by the name of Big Boy Austin, and I don't remember who the other one was. And they did fairly well at that. It was on contract drilling. And then, I'd say in the around 25 or 26, they had the old Salt Lake City field, which was out in West Los Angeles. They were going to abandon that. So he had a little bit of money, and I had an uncle by the name of Lee Kofol that had a little bit of money. They went in together and formed the Coast Supply Company and bought some land, which is in this block right across the street here where these warehouses are. And they got the salvage rights on the Salt Lake City field. And so I remember as a kid going out there, you know, by this time I was 8, 9 years, 6, oh, I was 7 years old. But those days they had all steam power and one thing or another, and they any salvage, the casing, rods, tubing, blah, 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 and they had these little short derricks, so 40 footers or something like that in those days. And they hauled the equipment into this yard across the street, and they went into the used equipment business, which, you know, became very profitable at the time. But it's kind of odd. Remember, we didn't have the rules and regulation, ordinances, etc., that we have today. And when they got all they wanted, all they could use over there at the Salt Lake City field, they just pulled those derricks over into the sun poles. And then I'll be darned. My dad, I think, made a point of being out of town, and somehow they caught on fire. Well, that's the way they got rid of them. There was a lot of new homes out in the West LA at that time, and that quite a lot of smoke damage and one thing or another. But still, at the same time, it was kind of wide open country at that time, and it wasn't a. I think they threw my uncle in jail for a little while, but he'd probably been there before, so it didn't bother him much. And but that's the way he really got started in the used oil equipment business. And we kept the business for maybe 1970, something like that. But in the meantime, he'd gotten into the production business. We had, one time we operated about 50 or 60 oil wells, Long Beach, Wilmington, Huntington Beach, and Santa Fe Springs. But we're more or less up and out of it now. We still operate a few wells, and we have two leases in Long Beach and one in Santa Fe Springs, but that's about all anymore. Has some royalty interest, but we don't do much of operation anymore. We've more or less gotten into the land business. But I remember quite a few of the old names. I think there's a street or some darn thing around here named after a fellow named Jesse Nelson. You probably heard. His warehouse is right at the end of 29th Street where it stops on Cherry, right because it hasn't been too long since they knocked his old warehouse down. Mm-hmm. And our warehouse is right here pretty close to the Edison substation. And then up there at the south. Yes, And then, right here at 28th, the best building on the avenue at that time was at the southeast corner of 28th and Cherry. A fellow by the name of R.R. Bush. He'd been, as I understand, a shoe manufacturer of all things in, I think, Indiana or some darn place back there. And he came out here, retired, semi-retired. Got into the oil business. I'd heard an old friend of mine, I talked to him about R.R. Bush a week or so ago, by the name of Saul Alexander. And according to Saul, the way R.R. Bush got in, he did some drilling later too, but he bought Hart Delaney interest. Went on from there, and I don't know whatever became of the Bush interest, what it evolved into later, but I always remember that was quite a building for that day and time around here. No, Bush was strictly in the drilling and oil operation, I mean the production operation. He didn't wasn't in supply. Clee Fairfield, who you've heard of, he worked for my dad. I remember he was just a young fellow and I was just a kid. In about 1926-27, Clee worked for my dad. My dad kind of taught him the business, and he also taught John Phillips the business. Taught him how to steal real good or something. But it was kind of interesting, and there was a A.S. Munson, he was quite a producer here in the old days. If you get further into it, have you ever contacted any of the Delaney people? Well, one of the girls, they had one boy, Bud, but he passed away here 6-8 years ago. But one of the sisters owns that American Hardware there on Spring and Long Beach Boulevard. And then Doris Reno is another sister. And then Pat Horton's another sister. I think there was three sisters. Pat, Doris, and whatever this one over here's name is. They could give you probably some good information and history and one thing or another.
How did you go through?
Oh my gosh, I made the rounds. You see, I went to kindergarten, I think is it Roosevelt across from Polly? Used to be the grammar school there? I went to the kindergarten there. Then I went, there wasn't a Signal Hill. See, I lived over here for a while later. But then I went to, the Washington Junior High is now on Pacific. See, that used to be a grammar school there. I went there to grammar school. I went to Burnett. And then I went back to about the third and fourth grade. We moved down on Pasadena, just north of PCH, or Coast Highway it was in those days. I went back to about the third and fourth grade to Roosevelt, across from Polly. And then back out here, and then we moved this, there's an old house here, right about where the Rib Restaurant is, moved that over there on California and Wardwell. It's still there, I think it's about the third house from the corner, right across from the telephone company there. And then I went to grammar school there. What the heck is it? It's out on Bixby now.
The one by
Hughes. Yeah, the one by Hughes, what it is. It used to be there on Borgo. The one next to Hughes, you're at Hughes Junior High School. Went there, and then we only lived there a couple of years. And in 1928, then, we moved over to where we lived, where I live now, on Pacific in San Antonio. And I finished grammar school at Los Cerritos. So I was to 5 or 6 grammar schools.
Yeah.
But then when I got out of Los Cerritos, I went to Washington Junior High, which was on Long Beach Boulevard. In those days, it went 8th and 9th Street. Then I went to Polly and graduated in 1936.
So,
go ahead. I'm sure he was. I can remember when they formed, vaguely I can remember when they formed the city. When was it formed? Do you recall?
In 26.
26. So I can vaguely remember them talking about it because they didn't want the city of Long Beach restrictions and this, that, and other thing. They wanted to do it their own way or some darn thing. But there's a lot of old names that probably you didn't recognize, and some of them most of them I've forgotten. If I heard them, I would recognize them in one thing or another. But gosh, I remember when I was a kid, you'd be off over in Orange County somewhere and coming back after dark. Signal Hill looked like a crystal lit up, all the brakes had lights on them in those days. And it was back in the 20s. I remember the big fire they had in Santa Fe Springs. You could see it clear from there. Of course, you could you could see downtown Los Angeles in those days too, you know, but you know, we do it about 4 or 5 days a year, I guess, now. Is there anything else you'd like to...
I wonder if you remember any other problems with one of us that came in. You know, we talked about moving a house. That's one of the things that I thought of, but other people have said, told me that, well, we moved our house because there were other ones all around. And
mm-hmm. No, we didn't move for that reason, but there just weren't many houses around them. There was one right down the street here on 29th, just before you get to Walnut. And then there was another one up, well, there used to be one right over here on this corner here, of Cardina and 29th. Then there was a two-story place on Walnut, on the west side of the street, just before you get to Willow. And then there was a place there on the southwest corner of Willow and Walnut. A friend of mine I went to high school with lived in there for a while, but Mike's restaurant over in, what is it, Artesia or Hawaiian Garden? Well, the original Mike had a bootleg joint on the corner of Willow and Walnut, the southwest corner there. I even forget his last name, but he was around, and that Mike's out there for quite a long while after the World War II was over. Mike's at that time was on the corner there. Built about 4 foot off the ground because it flooded every winter out there. And I don't remember, I remember they had a lot of blowouts, you know, wells, there was a lot of gas pressure in those days, you know, and they didn't have the controls they have now. They had blowout preventers, but they weren't they didn't work as well as they do now. They didn't have the controls. But,
do you know what you were doing during
the 1933 earthquake? Yes. I was down the street, a friend of mine's house. He lived on Roosevelt and Cedar, and sitting down there talking. It was, I forget what time it was, one around 5:30 or something like that in the afternoon or evening. I know it was after the schools were closed. But anyway, gosh, everything started shaking to beat the band, and we ran out. We did have no idea what it was. But the house across the street was red brick, wire-cut red brick. In the old days, you don't see much of it anymore, but you had the kind of blue mortar rather than the white in between the bricks, you know. And it looked like an explosion, all this blue smoke across the street. I thought the house had blown up. I'm trying to think of what it was the brick veneer had come off of the house, and this blue mortar sent up this blue cloud of smoke, you know, and but then I went on home, and our house had quite a lot of, a little bit of damage, you know. They shut off the water and the gas and one thing or another, and we camped out for, I guess a couple of weeks, you know, outside. And go into the house occasionally, you know, for clothes and one thing or another. But Navy was quite a Navy place here in those days. And I remember they stationed these sailors around, you know, with rifles and whatnot, which they had no need. They probably had some need for some protection downtown for, you know, people running off and stuff and one thing or another. But, I remember the corner of of Orange and Bixby. They had a little sailor boy out there with a rifle of his garden. I don't know what the hell he was supposed to guard. He probably didn't know either. But anyway, they forgot him. They left him out there for, I don't know, I forget how many, 4 or 5 days, but naturally neighbors around there fed him and whatnot. But I don't know what, it was kind of, it was amusing more than anything else. No, there was, California Heights was pretty well built up in those days, but there was nothing north of Bixby. You get up where Bixby, there's a line of eucalyptus trees that went east and west there, but then there were just fields up there. Just they would hay it up there, you know, mow the hay every late spring, you know. It was just oat hay out there. All the pardon?
The
yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, that's about what it amounted to. But as you know, you've probably seen pictures and one thing. Another, Polly High was a wreck. And, see, that was in 33, and I graduated in 36, and that's all we had, permanent buildings we had when I graduated. I think about had the science building and had the auditorium. But the most of the classes were in tents. They had wooden walls up about four feet or something like that, and then screen, and then a canvas top. And you think of anything else?
What was your first job?
My first job, working for my dad. I pumped, and then I worked in the Rossabout gang.
Could you explain how to pump it up, please?
Well, what he does is goes around and oils, well, in those days, the walking beam, and checks the belt. Had a big drill, about 12, 14 inch belt that went to that belt hole, and then you had to check the water level in the engine and the oil level and oil the different bearings around, and then if they were shipping oil or whatever you shipped oil, you did it by steam, as if you pipeline had pumps and one thing or another. But you'd have to fire the boiler, and wherever they had a boiler, a lot of times they had what they called a blowout box. Well, what it was a washing. All the fellows that worked in for the company or whoever, take the old oil of clothes and give them to you, and you'd soak them in casing head, you know, gasoline, liquid gas, and then you put them in this blowout box, it wasn't a manufactured thing, it was probably 3 foot square, and it had a lid on it, and it had a water jet and a steam jet in there. So you put all those clothes, a load of clothes in there, and then you'd, from your boiler, you'd turn the steam and the water in there, and you'd tumble them, and if you didn't tear them up that way, they came out pretty clean. But then I worked on the production gang, pulling wells, putting them, pulling tubing rods and whatnot, and bailing and setting plugs and whatnot. And I think the first time I worked derrick, some steel derrick down in the corner of Obispo and PCH, which is State Street in those days. But my gosh, you're about 70 feet off the derrick floor, and just stand on this 2x12, in the corner of the derrick, and you have a finger out there that you put the pipe around, and I'd done a lot of climbing around on the derrick, but I'd never worked in one, make a long story short, that thing had a lot of fingerprints of mine on it when the day was over, you know. But I was in, you know, just in going into high school, and in the summers I worked in the field, did different things, you know. Became fairly acquainted with the business. But then I went to school, and about the time I got out of school, World War II was on, so...
Did you go to college?
Yes, I graduated from Stanford in 1942.